What's up, everyone? This is Anthony Pompliano. Most of you know me as Pomp. You're listening to the Pomp Podcast, simply the best podcast out there. Now let's kick this thing off.
In this episode, I sat down and I talked to my brother, John Pompliano, about Netflix. We talk about where their revenue comes from, what products they have, subscriber growth, and what the future of Netflix could look like. There's some wild stats and insights in this episode that I think you'll enjoy. I always enjoy having these conversations with my brothers and hope you guys enjoy these episodes as well. Before we get into this episode, though, I first want to talk about our sponsors.
Today's episode is brought to you by Exodus, the world's leading desktop, mobile, and hardware crypto wallet. They offer beautiful, user-friendly blockchain products that sync across all of your devices, making it easier to send, receive, and exchange over 150 or more crypto assets in one place. And with world-class customer service available to you 24/7, Exodus always has your back. But the fun doesn't stop with staking and trading. They recently launched a new NFT marketplace where you can buy and sell your favorite NFTs on the Solana network. By partnering with the popular NFT platform Magic Eden, they're offering the full Monty on verified collections, with more added every single day. Ready to check it out for yourself? Run, don't walk, over to exodus.com/pomp for your free download today. Again, if you want the world's leading desktop, mobile, and hardware crypto wallet, go to exodus.com/pomp today.
Today's episode is sponsored by Abra. They're based in California and they're backed by top VC firms. Abra is an all-in-one, simple, secure app that allows you to trade over 110 cryptocurrencies, get 0% interest loans using your crypto as collateral, and earn interest with up to 13% APY on stablecoins and 7.15% APY on Bitcoin. You can join nearly 2 million users by downloading Abra from the Google Play or Apple App Store. If you download the app today, you will get $15 in free crypto once you fund your account. You came, you invested, now conquer. Abra, conquer crypto. Go check it out today. This episode is brought to you by DeFi Technologies. DeFi Technologies represents what's next in the digital economy. They're providing simplified, trusted access to crypto, decentralized finance, and Web3 investment opportunities. Institutions and investors can gain diversified, secure, compliant, and easily tradable access to a diversified set of industry-leading equity products and protocols through a single stock purchase on a regulated exchange. DeFi Technologies is currently listed on the U.S. Exchange at DEFTF stock ticker and the Canadian NEO Exchange at DEFI. For more information or to subscribe to receive company updates and financial information, visit their website at defi.tech. I'm really excited about what these guys are doing. I've become an advisor to the business, and I highly suggest you go check them out. Go to their website at defi.tech today.
Anthony Pompliano runs Pomp Investments. All views of him and the guests on his podcast are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of Pomp Investments. You should not treat any opinion expressed by Pomp or his guests as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of his personal opinion. This podcast is for informational purposes only.
We're talking Netflix today.
Netflix?
Netflix. The thing that used to send freaking red DVDs to your mailbox, and now you stream them.
All right, before we talk about Netflix, I got a qualm with you.
He's got beef.
Let's go. You know what my beef is? How you gonna come out here talking about Netflix, but you texted me today and said, going to talk about Spotify today?
Yeah, because I looked up Spotify, and I thought Netflix was more interesting, and I bet they would like it more.
I appreciate you out for the audience, a little learning session. All right, I just want to make sure we're all clear about the text message game. Go ahead. What's going on with Netflix?
We want to start blasting DMs. Nah.
All right, what's going on with Netflix?
All right, like Netflix, obviously pretty old company, founded in 1998. Mark Rudolph, Reed Hastings. This was their first website. Bro, looks nothing like the company you see today. What they've done over the last 20 years is insane.
It looks like a future billion-dollar company.
Hey, at least they got the word Netflix, right? At least they still have the same almost branding.
You see the top left, Sony picked the flicks.
Yeah, so obviously they used to literally mail DVDs to your home, and that's what they did for years. They started to rebrand over the years, obviously, and then you get to the site that they use today and the logo they use today. But you can see over time, they have literally just tried to switch brandings the entire time. They've done a really good job of pioneering certain things, like pioneering kind of the at-home streaming service on top of what Blockbuster did. So when Netflix started to send out DVDs, DVD players were only in 2% of homes in America. When they were sending out DVDs, they were only in 2%. VHS was the time, right? It was kind of early, mid-1990s, and VHSs were running what people use to play their things on. And then we just have a quick timeline about Netflix, kind of break it down for everyone. So they were incorporated in website launch in 1998, monthly subscription concept in 1999. They went to Blockbuster to try to have the CEO of Blockbuster buy them in 2000, 2 years after launch.
Okay.
Blockbuster said, hell no, we're not buying you for $50 million. Turned out, bad move Blockbuster, good move for Netflix.
So they, $50 million and Blockbuster didn't want to do it. And is it because Blockbuster was launching a competitive DVD
didn't
service?
Blockbuster didn't think they were going to do well.
Yeah.
Because it was, you know, it, no, like this was startup. A new idea. It was just a new idea. It's like, I don't know, do people really want their DVDs delivered to their home instead of the experience, I'll call it, of Blockbuster?
Okay.
No, not really. Then they went public in 2002. With a $309 million valuation. So 2 years after getting declined for $50 million valuation, they went public with $300 million valuation.
Okay. Then they reached, a million subscribers in 2003?
Yeah, a million subscribers 2003, which is, that's a lot of freaking subscribers for a business that's 5 years old. Then they delivered 1 billion DVDs by 2007. Who entered the market in 2008. So you started to see they still grew in subscriptions, but competitors started to enter into the market. They weren't like the first and only. And then they started making original content, which is another pivotal move for them in 2012, 2013. And House of Cards was one of the most popular shows. We saw Squid Games, which we'll talk about, one of the most popular shows in the world.
2017, so what, 19 years after starting, they had the same amount of subscribers as cable subscribers?
Yeah.
That's nuts. That's a wild stat. It took 19 years to get there. Cable had been around for decades.
I mean, think about their model, though.
Yeah, no. I get it. Okay, all right, so what's next?
One, it's cheaper. So, why we're talking about Netflix is because I saw someone break down their economics when they released it, and I was shocked at one number in there.
Okay.
So, Netflix, the economy of Netflix, they still make, in that bottom left, $182 million off DVDs.
Wait, where are we looking here?
Bottom left. DVD revenue. They make $182 million off DVDs.
All right, so the streaming revenue is— I didn't even know
they still sent DVDs out.
So they have 20, go back real quick, $29.5 billion. Total Netflix revenue is $29.7 billion. But streaming, so that difference between total Netflix revenue of 29.7 and 29.5 from streaming is literally about $200 million comes from DVD revenue. And they have gross profit of $12.4 billion and an operating profit of $6.2 billion. That is absolutely bonkers. Both the $200 million, $180 million of DVD revenue and $6.2 billion of operating profit 24 years later.
That's how it goes.
That's a big business.
Dude, just getting to $182 million of DVD revenue is a great accomplishment. And now that the fact that they're a $30 billion $30 billion a year in revenue company is insane. But then you can see their revenue over the years has obviously grown exponentially since like 2010, 2011. In 2009, they made $1.6 billion and they've slowly worked their way up. 2017 is kind of when they took off and they found their stride. Now they're $30 billion a year in annual revenue. Insane. They have the most subscribers at any streaming service outside of Amazon Prime. Amazon Prime, cheat code, they obviously have everyone who has Amazon Prime Video already, right? So it's a little bit of a cheat. So I think that Amazon Prime is actually, that number's greater than that 150 million.
Yeah, that is a crazy, crazy statistic. Man, all right, so what else? What else you got for us?
I'm working through it.
All right, let's go. I'm trying to learn.
All right, well, let's quiz you. That's the best way to learn.
Perfect.
Where are most of their demographic?
What like region? The subscribers?
Yep.
I'm going to say that most people would guess the United States, but my guess is that there's more international subscribers than U.S., but
I'm
don't
going
know.
Percent-based.
What?
Percent-based. Where are most of their subscribers coming from?
I would say international rather than U.S., but I don't know. Like, total international user base is bigger than U.S., but I don't know where the biggest single location.
Cool. So I'm going to teach you something. Okay. We have a chart right here that will bring it up for us. So 43% are in the United States and Canada.
Yep.
Europe covers 30%. That's also including Africa. And then Latin America is 18%. And then Asia is actually a very low portion at only 9%, which I was shocked by.
Yeah. So basically I was right that it's the total, the total international percent is bigger than the U.S. Yeah. and Canada percent, North America. But actually I would not have guessed Well, maybe I would have thought Europe, but not Middle East and Africa for sure. And then I'm actually surprised, as you are too, it sounds like the Asia Pacific region is sub 10%. I wouldn't have thought that.
You would think that would be much, much larger.
Yeah. It's fascinating though. And really, if you think about it, Latin America is double the size of Asia Pacific.
Yeah, but Latin America, they only make just over $8 off each user. And in America, they make almost $15 per user.
So they make a lot more money
just generally on the idea that America's prosperous.
So they got 222 million. That's like two-thirds of the entire American population.
Yeah, look.
Right, in size. Not that two-thirds of Americans are actually subscribed, but just like there's 330 million Americans, give or take. So 222 is about two-thirds.
Yeah, they have the same equivalent size platform as Twitter or any of these. The thing is, they charge a subscription revenue, so they get money from each and every single one of these people, which is an insane thing to do for 220 million people. But if you see that last month right there in Q1 of 2022, they lost 200,000 subscribers. And that's really important because people, obviously, it's a publicly traded company and people bet on things like this and bet if their stock price and the valuation of their company is going to go up or down. So I'm not sure. I know you're aware. I'm not sure if you guys are aware, but there is a man who lost $400 million in 3 months on Netflix. Most expensive subscription you're ever going to have.
$400 million.
Bill Ackman. He lost $400 million. 3 months. He went ahead and placed a position, I believe, in late January, early February of this year. And Netflix tanked. Netflix obviously had a terrible, terrible quarter. But hey, look.
Can I ask a question?
What?
Can we go back to the Twitter financials real quick, or the Netflix financials real quick, where they had that flow chart? I'm looking right now. You made me think that if Twitter has 220 million or so users and Netflix does as well, look at this stat. Netflix's operating profit is 6.2 billion. The operating income of Twitter is negative 127 million on a quarterly basis. So they lose, let's just call it about $500 million versus a $6.2 billion operating profit. But even if you looked at like a net income, and so it's not perfect comparisons, but net income at Twitter based on March 2022 quarter numbers was a little over $500 million. So that's $2 billion in net income annualized. Netflix, even though they have the same numbers to your point about how they monetize it, ends up being $6.2 billion from an operating profit standpoint. And the reason why that becomes interesting is because Elon Musk's whole idea around Twitter is to get people to pay. And so if you pay $3 a month or whatever, all of a sudden, can they drastically increase the financial performance of Twitter, which it shows that somebody like Netflix, even though they're charging $9.99, $19.99, whatever the price points that people are at, they definitely are able to make more money on a per user basis. And so it lends itself like, is Twitter, could you just make more money by simply charging people?
Well, I think the obvious answer is yes to both, in the sense of yes, you can make more money by charging people. Do people stick around? Is the real argument question of like, are people actually going to pay for the product? I bet you lose a lot of subscribers, right? People enjoy stuff that's free. But with that said, it's a different model, right? It just is. Like, the content that you get on Netflix is different than the content you get on Twitter. In a meaning Correct. For, you can get video content on both, but the time that's spent and like what you're doing on Netflix is different. And I don't think, like, they could institute this ad model. I don't think they're going to go straight only ads and just dip the subscription revenue. They've obviously done a good job over the last 20 years using subscription revenue. But I do think they will incorporate ads, and I think Twitter will do something similar as well, where they will both have a subscription-based model and an ad-based model where you can kind of toggle between more or less ads on your feed. Before you watch a video, after you watch a video, there is an ad that you can't exit out of or something like that. I think Twitter will go that route, but Netflix doesn't need ads, right? They make money. They're profitable.
Yeah, I think that's pretty cool. All right, you got any more stats for us?
So they started making their own content. Obviously, they spent a ton of money on their own content. They started in like 2012 with House of Cards, which I know you were a fan of.
Yeah, I did watch that. I like that one. Yeah,
what did you rate it? 1 out of 10?
Yeah. I don't really remember all of it. I mean, it was years ago, but like it was probably like an 8.
80% match for Anthony's Netflix, if any of y'all want his algorithm. So let's look at what they've spent. Obviously, 2020 is a down year, but 2021, this was their prediction. They were expected to spend $17 billion just on content creation alone. That also includes, I believe, IP and licensing of other people's content as well. And then you can see they're actually just going to ramp up more and more content, more and more original content. You can see that about, what is it, 37%. Of their content right now or in 2020 was originals. And by 2025, they're expected to produce about 50% of that content on their platform instead of just acquiring it from other people, which obviously means more revenue for the company if the content works out. But we've seen a few busts from Netflix for sure and seen a few great, great movies from Netflix. But you can see Netflix versus the top five studios. They're coming in the game. Once they start getting recognition, they have some of, or I think they're what, fifth in the total Oscar nominations in the last 10 years since they started making content. They are already up there with big name players, 20th Century Fox, Universal, Sony, Warner Brothers. They literally are in the game. So did you ever watch Squid Games?
No, I did not.
Wow. All right. You should go watch that. Very good. It's actually very good.
I just couldn't get into it. All right.
Check this out. Netflix spent $2.4 million per episode on Squid Games. Their other popular shows, Stranger Things and The Crown, was $8 million, $11, $10 million respectively there. But 111 million accounts watched the Squid Games within the first month.
That's a big number.
111 million. That's over half their subscribers. That's just about, I would say, about half to a little bit under half of the pop. I don't know how to say it, like the adult population in the United States. Like the kids and stuff, you're not going to have a Netflix account and stuff.
No, they're using their parents' password.
Yeah. I'm using yours, so be careful. Thank you, Netflix. Yeah, but they obviously made a ton. But their impact outside of what they just do is insane. So there's a stat that Netflix, after it launched Squid Games, the sales of white slip-on Vans, which were the shoes worn in the game, increased by 7,800%. So the sale of a product that's been around for years increased almost 8,000% based off a culture that was created inside an organization that streams you videos on the internet.
I just don't understand how they got this big. Like, yeah, it's 20 years, but like, that is absolutely nuts to have that much influence.
I think they had a very, very large head start. They were one of the first streaming companies to kind of adopt that model. But I'm shocked that they haven't lost more of their subscribers to Hulu, Paramount, Disney, RIP, CNN Plus, right? Things like that. But streaming services are popping up all over the places. People are realizing, hey, we have all this content. We have all this IP. Disney's a great example of that. We have hundreds of thousands of movies that literally we haven't premiered in years. Why don't we just make a streaming service where people can watch that and then pay us for that content that we already made? We're literally repurposing content. It's a genius idea for every single company that already makes content to get into the, or excuse me, not content, movies or TV shows that are successful, get into the streaming business and build their own platform.
What's your big takeaway from Netflix?
They're not going anywhere. They're gonna,
you think it's a robust, durable business.
Yep, they're switching their business model every time something comes up, and they're doing it well.
$180 million of DVD rental revenue.
You still make money from the old school business, too.
I know you like that. All right, where can we send people to find you on the internet?
So you saw a few of these awesome stats you guys just saw here right now. Go follow me, John Pompliano. A few people tried to DM me yesterday trying to talk like we're friends because I was answering people in DMs the day before. Sorry, you missed out.
Will you answer DMs today if people follow you?
Nope, I will do it. I can't do it. Sorry, that's too many times. I will do it later this week.
All right. Sounds good. I appreciate you coming on here, educating me every day.
Can't answer every DM, man.
Yeah, wait till I start DMing.
Thank you very much, and have a great day.
Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. I really hope you guys enjoyed this one. Make sure you're subscribed on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast player. And if you're looking to try to transition to get a new job in the Bitcoin or crypto industry, we've got you covered. Head over to pompscryptocourse.com. We've developed a curriculum with the top teams across the industry. It's a 3-week intensive training program with over 50 events packed into that 3-week time period. Go to pompscryptocourse.com to learn more, and I'll meet you guys for the next episode.